Welcome back, Michael Warren Thomas. It is For Love of Food at SaverLife.com, and some big news for a couple butcher shops in our area this week. Yeah, Food and Wine magazine, foodandwine.com, has a pretty cool article. Even vegetarians might want to read it because it's interesting. The best butcher shops and meat markets in America, nearly 100 essential independent shops from coast to coast. And it's not just a list of the shops. It's actually, I thought, kind of a fascinating overview of how we got here to have these butchers. And he writes about Joshua and Jessica Applestone, who about 15 years ago, I guess, opened a butcher shop. One of them was actually a vegetarian. And they did this in the Hudson Valley and had such amazing meat that restaurants in New York City were buying it. And they have since then have switched to vending machines, which they did before the coronavirus. But you may have seen a vending machine like this at McCann's Local Meats, which installed one because of the pandemic. And the article in Food and Wine says, even the darkest days of New York's catastrophic first wave, there would be people patiently standing around in a parking lot at Applestone Meat Company in Stone Ridge and in the Hudson Valley, waiting their turn, some of them all the way up from the city with coolers loading up with whole chickens, chorizo, dry-aged ribeyes, some of the highest quality meat can buy for not very much money at all, with no contact, just swipe your card. And so there's some great background on butcher shops, and the two places from our area that were included were McCann's, and that's shouldn't be a surprise. Kevin McCann was selected one of the 9 members of the U.S. team and the World Butchers Challenge. Again, one of 9 from around the entire United States. And also, he and his wife are both CIA grads, and they have put together a pretty amazing, amazingly consistent butcher shop here in Rochester. The other place is newer. It's just, I think, a year old, and that's the Butter Meat Company, which is in Perry, downtown Perry, right next to Letchworth State Park. And they opened a year ago, and they've been focusing on dairy cattle for beef. So this is, they're in a dairy country. Their East Hill Creamery is right nearby, and there are some huge dairy farms in that area around Perry. And so Butter Meat Company decided to focus on using dairy cows, which I don't know much of the history of using dairy cattle for beef, but in general, I think this is maybe a better take on the whole animal idea. In this case, dairy cattle that have produced a lot of dairy over, I don't know, several years, I think in the past were not utilized as beef, or not to the degree that we're starting to learn about now. And Butter Meat Company is really doing kind of a amazing job changing the methods around raising beef and sources of it. I remember talking to Seven Bridges Farm, Jeff and Burita Shanks, and they were buying male calves from dairy farms because male calves are not very useful to dairy farms. They don't produce any milk. So this was a again a way to utilize a resource that was already there, and the dairy farm didn't have any use for them, and Seven Bridges Farm could raise them as beef cattle, and they continue to do so and have amazing beef. Seven Bridges is not on this list. They're not a butcher shop. But they're a source of great beef. The two in our area, Butter Meat Company in Perry and McCann's Local Meats, the two on this food and wine list. And you should check this out online. You'll have fun reading about it. And it's a again, really a cool opportunity to learn more about a couple local businesses and how they fit into the world of butcher shops, which really didn't, it had gone out of existence to a large degree. One of the things the article mentions is that if this pandemic had come 15 years ago, there wouldn't have been the sources of really good beef and steaks and other things that helped some people, the non-vegetarians, get through this pandemic so far. The author says, first on items that markets were having trouble keeping in stock, the beef, and then just because people remember to learn for the first time that eating good meat makes everything better. Again, goes on to talk about the growth, regrowth of butcher shops. And as Sam Baskis, Samantha, one of the awesome chefs in the Finger Lakes, she went to work at the piggery in Ithaca for a couple of years to learn the art of butchery. And that's a fantastic butcher shop, which I don't think is on this list, but certainly could have been, maybe should have been. But again, there's 100 of them, and you can read about them. Maybe there'll be some that are located near where some friends or family live, and you'll get give them some tips on where to go and find some great meat in their neighborhood. It's foodandwine.com. You can get more details. Foodandwine.com. Nearly 100 places around the United States. And you should read about the two from our area and go get some meat. They probably do curbside pickups and things. One of the ones, Butter Meat Company, what they say in Food and Wine, the article about them says, Jill Gould's commitment to sustainability lured her out of corporate life and into the growing dual-purpose beef business. When dairy cows age out of the system at the family organic farm, they wind up as steaks on your dinner table. Delicious, well-marbled, pre-aged steaks, and they ship nationwide. Butter Meat Company ships nationwide. So right there in Perry, New York. If you see articles like this or hear about businesses in our area, send me a note, michael@saverlife.com. And one of the things that people are posting more about, partly because this is Thanksgiving week, it's Black Friday week, it's the launch of the holiday buying season, is why buy local? Why not go buy meat at, Costco or, big grocery stores or Walmart? Why buy local things? And it's a cycle. That's one of the reasons it's so powerful, is that when you buy from a local business, that local business, they tend to buy local also. They appreciate the importance of local businesses being one. And so the more money they have to spend, the more money will be spent with other local businesses, products, services, etc. And also something that doesn't get talked about a lot is the fact that local businesses tend to support local charities and events, sports teams. And it's, according to some of the research, something like 250% more than the big corporations do. Now, certainly big corporations donate a lot of money, but relative to the size of their business, it doesn't tend to be as much. And the small businesses often do this without much hoopla, without, you know, expecting big thank yous or write-ups in the newspaper or, you know, huge announcements on social media. Local small companies tend to make donations because they want to help their community and not for the publicity. Big corporations do it largely for the publicity, which is a good idea. But in, again, in terms of their donations, you know, for the size of the company, local small businesses donate way more. Again, like 2.5 times as much. And so again, you know, a $5,000 donation from a big box store looks like a ton of money. Or even I saw it was an opinion page in the DNC a couple years ago, and someone was thanking a big box store for donating $500. And yet the small restaurants and wineries have donated so much over decades to our local economy. You know, think about all the silent auctions and live auctions and fundraisers, et cetera, and people go to their local restaurants and ask for donations, and they, you know, give them a gift certificate. That's why these small businesses donate so much more. And so by buying local, you're keeping the money in our economy and you're cycling it. And that, again, comes back so that other small businesses can grow and so that they can spend more money locally. And it's a great cycle. So keep that in mind as you're thinking about food that you're buying or banks that you're using or, you know, products, services, etc., food, where are you spending your money? And one of the things that gift cards do a great job of, I was thinking about this last year when I got some gift cards for people to Lombardi's Gourmet Foods in Fairport. When you buy a gift card for someone to a business, it's an opportunity for them to experience that business and go in and choose what they want to buy. And maybe they've never been in Lombardi's, or maybe they've never been to Ristorante Lucano and had some awesome Italian food. So a gift card helps small businesses in two ways. One, the monetary amount, the money that you spend, but also the fact that they are gaining customers that experience them perhaps for the first time. So, you know, giving people things is great. A lot of gifts, you know, maybe locally made pottery or and lots of local things. And if you are looking for something in particular you can't find or don't know anyone who makes them, send me a note, because if I don't know who does, I can find people that probably know who does among the artists and other producers in our area. So lots of options. But then keep in mind, gift cards have that second bonus of marketing. And things like wine, you know, it's not just marketing, but it's also taste. People get to experience the quality of the local wines when you send a case or three bottles or, you know, six, whatever it might be. You are sending a taste of our region, a taste of the Finger Lakes, or in the case of Arrowhead Spring Vineyards, Western New York. New York State wines are fantastic, and they make great gifts. Wineries can ship to, I'd say, most states. Many wineries ship to 20 or 30 or more states, and you have some great options. If there's a state that you can't find a winery that ships to, again, email me. Maybe I can help, or you know, maybe there's sometimes they can do it through a wine shop if those wines are in distribution in states that we can't ship to. So various ways to potentially do that. But again, not all states, but most of them. So again, email me if you want details, michael@saverlife.com. And with Thanksgiving coming up this week, again, I love a holiday that focuses so much on food. And one of the really simple dishes we do each Thanksgiving are large white Vidalia onions sliced really, really thin and then baked with breadcrumbs and heavy cream. And that's it. That's like three ingredients. Bake the daylights out of them. And you really want it to become caramelized and well browned on the sides. You really can't cook them too much, but you cook them at fairly low temperatures, and they will just this great texture and flavor. And there really couldn't be a simpler dish to make. The cutting of the onions is a little that can get a little irritating for the eyes, because we do usually about three onions to do a couple dishes of these creamed onions. And you can rinse them with water. I've tried swimming goggles. Can't say that was a big success, but it's worth it. They are some fantastic creamed onions. And I like them better than the pearl onions, the little tiny ones. These big Vidalia onions are great that way. And something we've had at Thanksgivings for, I don't know, many decades, probably three or four decades maybe. So if you want details on that, email me, michael@saverlife.com. I think we cook it at like 300 degrees. It's a really low temperature for a long time. So it does take up a lot of space in the oven in that sense, but it can be cooked ahead and then reheated, which makes it probably even better. As again, it caramelizes that much more, and it's just a fantastic side dish. And really, even with turkey, it's the side dishes that I tend to have a lot of: mashed potatoes, or dressing, or squash, etc. And in the past, relatively little of the meat. I could eat a whole dish of mashed potatoes would be dinner for me. Maybe some nice butter on it, and that's really all I need for Thanksgiving, and mashed potatoes. Everything else is kind of a bonus. So if you have some favorite family dishes, or things you've recently discovered you're going to make for Thanksgiving, send me a note. Let me know, michael@saverlife.com, and what you're baking. If you're looking for pie for Thanksgiving, or maybe you're baking one pie, but you'd like to have a couple others, you don't want to bake three different kinds of pie, but you'd like to have some different kinds of pie, I suggest having three kinds of pie at Thanksgiving. Pumpkin, of course, apple probably, maybe apple raspberry if you can get one from Herd Orchards. And then maybe a pecan pie or a blueberry or something else. But three pies, just like three different glasses of wine, red, rosé, and white, will make a really interesting table and some more delicious leftovers. I mean, that is one of my secret motives with the multiple kinds of pie, is that there'll be more leftovers of pie. So places like Herd Orchards have amazing pies. I would get your orders in today. And they do some deliveries sometimes like the Wednesday, probably this coming Wednesday before Thanksgiving into Rochester to one site. And so you go and pick it up from them sort of on the edge of Brighton and Pittsford. And you also go out to their farm market and pick it up this week. But you have to order in advance. They have lots of people ordering pies this time of the year. And lots of other great jams, jellies, preserves, etc. So more fun to go out there and get it from them at their farm market. Not open every day of the week, so check their website for details, herdorchards.com. And I've stopped having pie as often when it's from... when I'm not sure where it's from or a lot of other sources, they're just often way too many ingredients in the pie. If you see a pie at the grocery store and read the ingredients, it might cause you to consider another source of pies. I prefer fewer ingredients, no preservatives, etc. One other note, there was an article Tracy Schumacher did in the Democrat and Chronicle recently about the Thanksgiving dinner in a pot pie that Kate Schlenker of Newbury Park Pastries makes. And that article made business go crazy for Kate. So I think she is sold out until early December. And I would get in touch with her to get your order in because that may get pushed out further just because of the article in Democrat and Chronicle. So she does a pot pie, a savory pot pie with all the ingredients of the Thanksgiving dinner in it. And so if you want some leftovers and you didn't have any for Thanksgiving, order one of these pies in some point early December. You'll be able to get your Thanksgiving dinner in a pot pie. And you should get a few other ones to freeze or they often come frozen and have as easy meals in the future. So place your order for the Thanksgiving pot pie, but then place your order for a couple more too. Her shepherd's pie is wonderful. There's Penang pot pie, of course, chicken pot pie and a vegetarian one. The Penang one is vegetarian with Thai seasoning. And then she has some specialty pot pies and tarts and things that she also does. But I think she got tons of business from this article in the DNC, and so you can't really make 300 more Thanksgiving dinner pot pies in a week. You can't ramp up business that quickly for something like this. So she's taking orders, and some point in early December, she'll have some. Hopefully, if she's not sold out for even then, call and check with her. Or she's very active on Facebook. You could send her a message through Facebook, probably. It's Newbury Park Pastries. So nice to see them get some great publicity. And those customers will be back to get more pot pie because they are really delicious. We'll be back with Discover the Finger Lakes tomorrow, the Grapevine. Have a fantastic Thanksgiving. And again, email me if you want details on anything you heard me mention, Michael@saverlife.com. Have a great day.